Give us the courage to follow through in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Drew, thank you for your word. I wonder if you read my notes. We declared to you last week with a directed word of God from that God used Earl Shimp to give us that over the next 50 plus weeks, we were going to be speaking what we believe is God directive for this church. God's passion for me, my passion for Christ, or it's not about building a church building, but about building Christ's church within us. And I just have two comments as we get started. One came to me during praise time, and it is that the faithful who don't pray don't stay faithful. And the disobedient who pray won't stay disobedient. The other comment I found in a book titled Mother's Unanswered Prayer for Self-Improvement. And it's about a young mother who took her 9-year-old daughter out for a mother-daughter breakfast. And during the meal, trying to encourage openness and conversation with her little precocious daughter, and I'm sure none of us have daughters like that, the mother with somewhat boldness said to the daughter, "Well, sweetheart, how can I become a better mom?" Now, we all know you don't ask a child a question if you don't think you have the answer. And the daughter, perplexed and thinking for a few minutes, said, "Well, Mom, you yell a lot. I know you've been praying about that, but it isn't really working yet." Now, I'm sure that each of us, if we were honest this morning, we've come to that time in our life that we've wondered, does prayer really work? So what's with that? How is it that we can sincerely ask God for what on our heart, for help in times of need, and it seems that our prayers go unmet? Maybe. So anyway, today I'm going to focus on our attitude when we go into a time of prayer. Because one of the things I've learned as a clergy and as a man who attempts at times to pray is that some of us, and I have to raise my hand the highest, have a real poor attitude when it comes to prayer. Maybe you sincerely have tried to pray, but you're not getting the answers. Could it be that we're approaching God in a bad attitude? Or is it that when we pray, we've already scripted in our minds how it is that God is supposed to answer us and what it's supposed to look like so that any other answer becomes a non-answer if God would only take the time to read our minds? And I got to give you a practical experience with that. Some of my wife's and I biggest conflicts is when she's already scripted out our conversations before we enter them, but she doesn't give me the script. And I find ourselves into page 3 or 4 of this drama, and I go, time out. I'm not on the page you're on. You forgot to script me in. And she's finally learned. I have unpredictable answers. And I don't follow the script if it's not written. That's only taken 44 years. I am trainable, but sometimes I'm not educable. I know it's my fault, but she married it. And leopards don't change their spots. Sometimes when we approach God, I think we approach God in that method. We already figured out, God, it's A, B, and C, and this is how you're supposed to answer me. And he comes back with D and F, and we go, what's with this? We can't script God. We have learned as Americans, we put God in a box. Saints of God, quit putting God in a box. You don't have one big enough. Rick Warren points out there are 4 attitudes that we need to get the concept of when we go to pray. And I think there's some validity. And I'm going to use those with some stretching. First, we've got to realize that when we go to God, who we all agree, I hope, that he is the creator of all things. Who in this room created anything but a mess? I'm not sure that God didn't create a few messes. I don't understand skeeters. But be that as it may, they have their purpose. For y'all that aren't from the rural South, that's mosquitoes. Or no-see-ums, gnats. Don't understand them. Other than they like to be pest and they like to bite Kyla. You know. But anyway, be that as it may, none of us ever created anything. God created everything that there was. From nothing, he created that which is created by his voice. I heard a tape one time, and you know, everybody argues that there was this Big Bang theory is not relevant. Well, I've decided it is relevant. God said, "Let there be light." And he had this whole vision of light just rolling out of his mouth. And there was light. That was pretty Big Bang, I think. So in that concept, maybe there's some validity to Big Bang. Because God said, let there be light. And there became light. So if God did everything, let us start with the first premise that when we go to God, we're going to be working on his time frame and not ours. Years ago, I'll never forget, and I'm not sure I'll ever forgive him, but he was right. Father Ed Schill corrected me. I said, God is the God of the 11th hour and 59 minutes. He said, no, he's not. He's the God of the 4-day dead. Because he raised Lazarus. 4 days. He was in the grave 4 days, right? Four days. He raised Jesus. What I'm trying to say is God can make it well and make it right. We can't do any of that. So here's the deal. We're going to go We must be willing to let God answer on God's own time frame. But you say, I want my answers to my prayers right away. If it's important for me to pray, it's darn well important for God to answer in my time frame. And that's how most of us pray. In fact, there was this teaching, if you pray for something more than once, you're praying in lack of faith. There was a big teaching in the Pentecostal circles of that time, one time. All right, after all, and so what happens with that is many people pray to a certain point and quit and give up and get mad at God. I'm reminded of the widow woman who bugged the judge. And the judge says, though I fear not man or God, nevertheless, I'm going to give justice to this woman just so she'll leave me alone. Guys, when we go to pray, rattle the curtains of heaven until God answers us. Don't give up. Nor is it in the interest for God to always answer us right away. Sometimes He delays answering our prayers for our own goods. Sometimes He has to correct us and mature us before we're able to handle the answer that He's going to give us. I often wonder if we were in right fellowship with God, how much easier it would be for Him to answer our prayers. But when we go to Him, you know, the Word says, judge not lest you be judged. If we go to God in prayer in judgment, what sort of answers would He give us? And sometimes I just wonder how much time He has to take to grow us up, to change our attitudes before He can answer our prayer. One time God said to me through a prophet, David, I'd answer you, but you got to get rid of this before I can, or He'll kill you. That's a pretty strong word. Okay? We got to get rid of bad attitudes. We got to get rid of harboring anger. We got to get rid of judgments. We got to get rid of all of those things that are not loving things that Jesus would do if we're going to go to the Father and expect the Father to answer us and honor us as He would the Son. Jesus got His prayers answered immediately. Why? Because He didn't harbor things within His heart that were not conducive to the relationship that He had with the Father. So sometimes I think our motives, our judgments, our conclusions about other people, instead of interceding with them, one of the things I've learned over the last couple of years, the last 20 years, is when I find someone I really can't understand, and I've done this in counseling, I've told people, God, I start praying, God, break my heart for that person. Because there's something in them that I don't like because it's in me. And I got to know what it is so I can get rid of it. See, normally what we don't like in other people, it's in us. And all we're doing is projecting instead of dealing. I wonder sometimes, our motives are impure and we don't even know it. Imagine your 5-year-old son, for those that have, or your daughters. You're out sawing with your electric saw and your son comes up and goes, Daddy, I want a saw. Let me do that. How many of you would turn your 5-year-old? Father, would you turn your children over with an electric saw and go for it and go in the house and eat and drink tea? And yet sometimes when we go to the Father in our prayer, that's what we expect Him to do to us. No, we would tell Him, no, wait till you're older. Wait till you're more mature. Wait till you show and demonstrate to me that you have the ability to handle the responsibility. I believe that's what God says to us. Being willing to wait for something you want or even need is a sign of maturity. Not being willing to wait is a sign of immaturity. This might also be a reason that God withholds the answers, because we're not mature enough to handle. By the way, this immaturity wasn't a reason found in Luke chapter 1 of why Elizabeth and Zacharias and Elizabeth didn't get the answer they wanted for a child. They were found righteous before God in all of their ways, and yet their desire for a child was hidden, was withheld. For a greater glory, for a greater purpose. And they were assured a child was coming. They didn't get disgusted with God. They kept serving Him. They kept praying. They kept up the good works. And God answered their prayer for a very special child called John, who was to become the one that was to point out the Christ that was coming. But God found in them a couple that would not deny Him, even in times of trial. Here's something else when we got to know. Many times when we ask God before the answer of God, adversity comes. Trials come. Don't get discouraged. The Word says, thank God in all things. Sometimes delays happen, but delays do not mean denials. Sometimes we get right to the point of breakthrough and we give up. I heard Stanley say this morning this very thing. I was just going through the channels I'd finished, and I kind of listen to Stanley on Sunday mornings sometimes, and he said, he was talking about this gold mine that was found, and the gold, the diggers in an earlier time had come within feet of the largest gold vein they'd ever found, and they gave up. And a later miner went through and 2 or 3 feet found this large gold mine. And he said, that's how we are in prayer. We get right to the point of breakthrough and we give up. There are 3 times you stop praying, and I'm going to get to those by the end of the sermon. But until then, when you go to pray, persevere in prayer. Don't give up. Don't listen to the legalist saying you pray once and don't pray again, or it's lack of faith.